Says the Mishnah, Daf Mem Dalad Omud Beis. We started the Mishnah. We're going to see the Gemara, Mr. Hashem, but let's just review the Mishnah. Hoya rochik mi Beis Haskila. Remember, he's being marched off to the Beis Haskila, which, as we have learned in previous sugyas, was not in the Beis Din. It wasn't even outside of the Beis Din. It was outside the Machaneh, three Machaneh, so it was quite a walk. When they eventually get there, but they're not quite there, they're four amos away. Mafshitin, you have to remove his clothes. Rashi points out, we learned this also in a previous Gemara, it's a drasha. We learn this from a pasuk, Kedo Omar, Oisoi, Beloi Ksusoi. Oisoi, Beloi Ksusoi. The Torah says you have to stone him. Him means just him without any exterior clothing. You have to know, we have to know, we're going to see this later on in the Gemara. The fact that he is stoned, unclothed, is a double-edged sword, is a maila and a chisaron. On the one hand, of course, it's a chisaron because it's a bezoyin. It's a bezoyin that he has to be killed unclothed. There is a maila, however, and we're going to see this is very, very significant later on in the Gemara, and that is that he dies quicker. If he's wearing clothes, and obviously the clothes provide some type of cushion or barrier, and that might delay the death slightly and make it more torturous and lengthy. So therefore, this whole concept of stoning him without a cloth has a maila and a chisaron. A maila in the fact that he'll be killed quicker, a chisaron in the fact that he'll be killed in a bezoyin way. But either way, it's learned from a pasuk. Says the Mishnah, mafshitin oisai is begodov, ho'ish machasin. A man has to be covered at least in front of him. V'ho'isha milofoneho umeachareho is covered at least in the front and in the back, not her whole goof, obviously. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. No. Ho'ish niskal orum ve'ein ho'isha niskeles aruba. This concept of removing the clothes only applies in the case of a man, does not apply in the case of a woman at all. Why not? We'll soon see in the Gemara. Last Rashi on the Omud, Milfonov. A man is covered in front of him. Ervosoi, meaning his private parts. Bechatichas beged, with a piece of beged. Yes, Reb Larry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, if we're concerned about suffering and the idea is that he should die, but why don't we just kill him like we shechta an animal? So it's the quickest death, less painful, he's chayav misa.
You know, Torah says skila. When you Torah says skila, every avera has its punishment. Here, the Torah says skila. Some averas warrant a more lenient punishment for that reason, because the more severe, then he has to die in a more severe fashion. But nonetheless, as we're going to see in the next omud, there is a very important concept of ahavta rerecha kamoicha. We're going to see it's a whole omud coming up. Okay, says the Gemara, top of Mem Hey Omud Aleph. So the Mishnah we'd already seen, we haven't yet seen the Gemara, we're about to do so now. Tanu Rabbanon. Ha'ish mechasin oisoi perek echod milfonov. A man is covered perek echod. Now, what does perek mean? Perek, as we know, like we're learning the sixth perek of Sanhedrin, perek is a piece. So what does it mean? A man is covered one piece. So Rashi brings two explanations. Have a look at the top Rashi. Says Rashi, Perek echod kloimar ma'at mimenu. A bit of him. Perek echod means one piece of the person. Milafonov, in front of him. So perek echod means a piece of the person. V'yesh oimrim. And some say no, that the perek, a piece, is not referring to the person, it's referring to the material, a piece of material. V'yesh oimrim perek chatichas beged, a piece of beged. V'loshen perek betarvayu, in both of these interpretations, whether it means a piece of the person or a piece of material, is lishni. Turanshin. Turanshin again just means a piece of. Okay, so back into the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon ha'ish mechasin oisoi perek echod milafonov, one piece, either one piece of the goof or one piece of material. Ve'isha shnei prokim. An isha, two parts. Again, either two parts of her guf or two pieces of beged, but it comes to the same thing. Bein melefoneho, bein melachareho. Both in front and also behind. Mipnei shekulo ervo. Because unlike a man's guf, the woman's guf is considered to be more of an erva, as we know from other halachas about tefach, be'isho erva, etc., etc. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds that both a man and a woman are both stoned unclothed. The question is just how much of the guf needs to be covered, but essentially the halacha that the Torah teaches us that the man's clothes have to be removed applies equally also to a woman. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda says the Gemara, the Chachamim Oimrim, this we saw in the Mishnah, Ho'ish Niskal Orum. It's only a man who is stoned unclothed, but Ve'ein Ho'isha Niskeles Aruma. But a woman, however, is not stoned unclothed. Now, before we continue, let's just make a very important one-line introduction. And that is, it's true that in many, many, many areas of halacha in the Torah, we differentiate between a man and a woman. However, we need to know that's always the exception to the rule, which means the general rule, the default position is always, unless I'm told otherwise, I must assume that men and women have the same halachas. That is the rule. It's true, there are many exceptions to the rule, but the exceptions to the rule are always listed to me, whether it's a drosha or a remez, however it may be. But if there's no remez in the Torah to differentiate between men and women, then the default position is that they're the same. So if the Torah says you have to put a mezuzah up in your house, and I would say, ah, one second. It says, Uchasavtem al mezuzah is beisecho. Beisecho is masculine. Maybe if it would be beisech, a female house, then maybe you don't have to put a mezuzah. But we don't have such a drosha. And therefore, if there's no drosha, the correct assumption is always that men and women are always considered to be the same, unless stated otherwise. So it's true. Sometimes we have general rules, like mitzvah saseh she'azman groma, other places we have specific drushes. Of course, there are hundreds of exceptions to the rule, but as a general rule, men and women are the same. And therefore, the whole halacha of being stoned unclothed was learned from oisoi. It says, v'soklu oisoi, they stoned him. Now, the drusha at the time was oisoi, him, and not his clothes. So it's true, it says him, but that doesn't necessarily come to exclude her. It's true, it's written in the masculine, but so is most of the Torah. On occasion, we have a Masoiras that you've got to have a drasha, oisoi, but not oiso. A classic example would be, how do you know that a woman is not mechuyev to do bris milah for her son? It's only a chiyev on the father. The answer is because it says in the pasuk oisoi, Avraham Avinu oisoi, and we make a drasha oisoi, but not oisa. So a woman has no obligation to do bris milah on her son. So not every single time it says in the Torah oisoi, do we necessarily make a drasha v'loi oisa. If that's the drasha that we have a Masoiris to make, then we make it. If not, the assumption is rules that apply to men apply also to women. So, if that's the case, if we now ask ourselves a question, we have a machloikas between the Rabbonon and the Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbonon, the halacha of orum, unclothed, applies to men and women. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it only applies to men and not applies to women. Does not apply to women. Of those two opinions, which is the opinion that needs explanation? And the answer is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbanon's stance does not need explanation. What did the Rabbanon say? There's no difference between men and women. Fine, that is always the rule. So the
So it's
onus.
the other
Sorry?
way around. It's the other way around, no? Rabbi Huda says The
Oh, excuse
the
me. Sorry, 100% right. Sorry, I made a mistake. 100% right. 100% right. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, quite right. Sorry. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda does not need explanation. If Rabbi Yehuda says that the halacha of Orum applies equally to men and women, then that does not need any explanation. It does not need any proof, doesn't need anything at all. Why not? Because, very simple, why should I assume that they're different? So the only opinion that needs explanation is the opinion of the Rabbanon. And that's why, look at the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Maitamayu de Rabbanon. What is the reason of Rabbanon? Now, why is the Gemara homing in on the Rabbanon? The answer is, as we've just explained, because it's the Rabbanon who are differentiating between an ish and an isha. They're the ones who have to explain, how do you know that this is an exception to the general rule, which is that women and men are the same? So look at the Gemara. Mai tamayu de Rabbanon. Omar Kro, what is the reason? Why do the Rabbanon differentiate between men and women? Omar Kro, because the Torah says, Verogmu oisoi, and they stone him. Now, what's the emphasis on him? My oisoi, quote unquote. What is the Torah emphasizing? You have to stone him. Elema, are you going to tell me that it means oisoi veloi oiso, that only a man can be stoned, but a woman can never be stoned? Is that the emphasis on him? That we stone him, but we never stone her? That can't be. Vahoksi, but surely we have a pasuk. It says quite clearly, Vahoitseiso eso ish ahu oi eso isha. Hahi, quote unquote. We have a Mefurash pasuk that the death sentence can apply both to men and to women. There's no exemption. There's no such halacha that a woman can't be put to death. She jolly well can. So if that's the case, what does the Torah mean that you stone him? What is the emphasis on him? Don't tell me it's as opposed to her that she can't be stoned. That's not true. She can be. Elo, therefore, my oisoi. So, what is therefore the emphasis on the word oisoi? Oisoi. What divides? What is it that differentiates men and women? Again, oisoi always means what? Him and not her. But here, it can't be understood literally, him and not her, but what? She doesn't get stoned? That's not true. So that can't be the differentiation between men and women, that men are stones and women are not. That's simply not true. We have a Mefurash Pasuk that says men and women can both be stoned. So what is the Torah emphasizing him for? What differentiation is there between men and women? Says the Gemara, Elos, so what must it be? My oisai, quote unquote. So what is that? Oisoi? Oisoi? Beloiksusoi. It is him that he is stoned without clothes. Ha oisa? But her, however, is biksusa. So that is the differentiation. If the Torah is saying that you stone him, the Torah is clearly emphasizing that there is apparently some difference between him and her. It can't be that the difference is one is stolen and one is stoned and one is not. Rather, they are both stoned, but the question is, how are they stoned? A man is stoned without clothing, a woman with clothing. Says the Gemara, no, I'm sorry, I disagree, says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, oisai. Beloiksusai. All oisai is teaching me that with no clothes, but loishna ish, loishna isha. No difference between a man and a woman, says Rashi. Veloi oisa, de'ein isha niskeles aruma. A woman is not stoned unclothed. V'Rabbi Yehuda, says Rashi, omar l'chada, no. Oisai, quote unquote. Lav lemiute isha asa. It's not coming to exclude a woman. Elo lo oiruyelon. It's just coming to teach us the niskal orum. It's just coming to teach us that a person, whoever it may be, man or woman, is stoned, unclothed, dume oisoi. From that word, oisoi, nafgalon, we learn, beloik susoi. But it's not coming to exclude women, to the contrary. Loishna hu, loishna hi, no difference between him and her, shahare ein kan miut. Because there is no miut over here. Vehishve hakosuv ish leisha. Lekol misois shabatayra, and the Torah always equates men and women. As we said before, the general rule is that whatever applies to men applies equally to women as well. So I don't see any miut in the pasuk. And if that's the case, whatever applies to man, i.e., that he gets stoned unclothed, so too beisha. So we have a machloikas therefore between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. How are we learning the word oisai? Is oisai merely to be understood? He has clothed him, meaning without his clothes, but it's not the exclusion of a woman, it's the exclusion of his clothes. And if that's the case, then it applies equally to man and woman alike. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say, no, we understood that the oisai is the emphasis, there is something that's specific to him as opposed to her, and that is this very halacha, not the general halacha of whether they're stoned. A woman can also be stoned. However, this particular halacha that a man is stoned unclothed is applicable only to Oisoi and not, however, to Oisoi. To Oisoi. Says, yes.
Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say, just like it says, oso velo susa, osa velo susa?
It
Learn the
doesn't
same thing.
say Oisoi.
No, it's he said osa, right? It says oso, and then
It
it's.
doesn't. There's no pasuk oisai.
Oh.
The question is whether we would learn oisai, would we now derive from that veloi oisai?
Oh,
Is
I
that
see. Okay.
we make that drush? Okay, now, what is the underlying theme? Obviously, it's true we have psukim, but what is the theme? What is the discussion? About whether the woman is stoned, clothed, or unclothed. Obviously, the discussion is mitzad halachas of tznius. So we know there is a whole concept of tznius, of what's called hirhur. Hirhur literally means thoughts. So there's a concern, possibly, that is the discussion. That if this woman would be viewed unclothed, it would cause hirhur. So it would seem to be, in all likeliness, this discussion about whether a woman is or isn't stoned unclothed would all be dependent on hirhur. How concerned must we be with hirhur? When we're talking about a woman who's about to die, will that cause hirhur? So now, Rabbanon were the one who said that a woman is not stoned, unclothed. So they seem to be concerned with hirhur. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not true. The halacha that applies to a man applies to a woman as well. Apparently, there is no concern of hirhur. Says the Gemara, Lameimra, are you trying to therefore teach me? It would seem to emerge, Derabbanon chayshi lehirhura. So apparently, Derabbanon, they're concerned with hirhur. They're the ones saying that what? That one should not stone a woman unclothed. That applies only to a man. The Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, seems to be saying the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda loy chayesh lehirur. It would seem to be Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned with hirur. And he is telling us that what? That no, the halacha that applies to a man applies to a woman as well. There's no difference. Now, let's press pause for a second. When the Rabbonon say that a man is stoned Orum and a woman is not stoned Orum, why did they say that? Well, we just saw because they learned it from a pasuk. Oisai veloi oisa. So how can we now turn around and say, oh, it seems to be that the Rabbanon are concerned with Hirhur? What's it got to do with Hirhur? It's a pasuk. The pasuk says this is halacha for a man and not for a woman. So what do you mean they're not concerned with Hirhur? Maybe they're very concerned with Hirhur, but the Torah has told us that there's halacha that you must remove the clothes of the man, and it didn't say that with a woman. If it would be Rabbanon's own invention, had they invented this halacha and made it up, then I'd say, it seems to me that the reason why they made it up is because of Hirhur reasons. But they didn't, they learned it from a pasuk. The Torah says that we only have a mandate to stone him unclothed, but not her. So look at Rashi now. Rashi alludes to this problem. Lahirhura, what does it mean, Lilhura, to impure thoughts? Shema yitnu ba einehem. Because maybe people will turn their eyes to her. V'yavoyu lidei hirur, and will come to thoughts. Now, di lav haitaima, says Rashi, because if not for hirur, Nahi, even though Delarabonon loy atzricha krol lahafshita, even though it's true according to the Rabbonon, the Torah did not necessitate to remove her clothes. So how can you blame it on Hirur? It's just a gzeiras hakosov. But no, na'avid lo anan. Why don't we do so of our own volition? The Torah didn't say that you mustn't. The Torah just says you don't need to. You need to remove the clothes of a man. You don't need to remove the clothes of a woman. So there's no Torah mandate to do so. So why don't we suggest that we should do so anyway? Why would we want to remove her clothes? Kedei shetomus maher. In order that she should die speedily. Remember, we said before, and that's why we made the introduction, that even though on the one hand it's a bizoyan to remove the clothes, but there is also an advantage that the person dies quicker. So the Torah did not say that one mustn't remove the clothes of an isha. It just says you must remove the clothes of a man. And there is no requirement to do so by an isha, which means, as far as the Torah is concerned, if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. It's up to you. There is no mandate. So therefore, Rashi is saying that's what the Gemara means. It's true the Torah hasn't required us to remove the clothes of an isha, but why don't we suggest that we should do that anyway? For what gain? In order that she should die quicker. So, what must be the answer to that question? It must be a one-word answer. Hirhur. That's what the Gemara means to say. It must be that Hirhur is the underlying theme of the opinion of Rabbanon. Because if not, then it's true there's no requirement to remove her clothes, but why would he not do so anyway? So, we seem, therefore, back into the Gemara to have a machlokes. The Rabbanon clearly are concerned with Hirhur, and that's why they're saying do not remove the clothes of an isha. Rabbi Yehuda seems not to be concerned with Hirhur and says no, remove the clothes of an isha just like a man. Now, why is that a problem? Fine, so it's a machlokes. Says the Gemara, do you know what the problem is? V'ha ipcha shamina lehu. But actually, we have learned the exact opposite. We've learned the exact opposite. That in fact, it's the Rabbanon who seemed not concerned to be with Hirur, and it's Rabbi Yehuda who is concerned with Hirur, which is the exact opposite of what we're learning here. Why? Where have we seen this? Well, where else do we find in the Torah a concept of removing the clothes of an Isha? And that is obviously in the case of the Isha Soita. So look at the Gemara. But surely we have learned the exact opposite. What is the exact opposite? The Tnan. Because we have a Mishnah in Soita, and it says, HaKoyein Oiches BeBegodeha. Remember, what are we talking about? Talking about the Isha Soita, who's been accused of committing adultery with somebody else. We don't know, it hasn't yet been proven. So we know the process. She comes to the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very embarrassing process, obviously. Says the Mishnah, the Tanan, HaKoyein Oiches BeBegodeha. The Kohen grabs her clothes. Im nikra'u, nikra'u. If they are torn, then they are torn. Ve'im niframu, niframu. Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate niframu? They're stripped apart?
Tattered.
Tattered. In other words, sometimes if you pull his clothing, one of two things can happen. Either it could just rip, or it could literally be stripped apart into pieces. So the Mishnah says, whatever happens to her, happens to her. If her clothes get torn, so be it. If they get tattered, so be it. Ad shemegale es libo, until her heart, as it were, has become revealed, that part of the guf. In addition, v'soiser es sara, you also have to uncover her hair. So this obviously is a very ignominious, demeaning process to this Isha, and this is all part of the Soita process. That is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, that what? You have to grab her by the clothing. If it gets torn, it gets torn. If it gets tattered, it gets tattered. No rachmonis, no concerns. Reb Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer im hoyo libo no'er, literally translated, if she had an attractive heart, means if she's a woman who might cause hirhur, then lo yoyo megalehu, then they would not expose that part of the guf. V'im hoyo sa'aro no'er, and if her hair was attractive, then lo yoyo soisro, then they would not uncover the hair. That is the end of the Mishnah. So it would seem to be that what's the machloikas? Once again, it all seems to be based on hirur. What is Rabbi Yehuda telling me? Rabbi Yehuda is telling me apparently he's very concerned with hirur. And therefore, if chas v'shalom, by opening up the clothes, it's going to be goyrim hirur, do not do so. And what about the first opinion, the chachamim? Well, they don't seem to be very concerned with that. They don't seem to be concerned with that at all. So now let's press pause. Who is concerned with Hirhur and who is not concerned with Hirhur? Reb Yehuda seems very concerned with Hirhur. Therefore, do not rip the clothes of the Isha Soita. He's very concerned with Hirhur. Didn't he say the opposite in the case of Skila? In the case of Skila, he said, I'm not concerned with Hirhur. And that you would remove the clothes, both of Ish and also of Isha. So that's one contradiction. The other contradiction is in the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim, in the case of an Isha Soita, do not seem concerned with Hirur. What do they say? You tear the clothing, whether it becomes torn or tattered, it makes no difference. What about Hirur? Not interested. And yet, in the case of Skila, they were very interested in Hirur. They were very concerned. They were the ones who said that when it comes to Skila, it's only a man who is stoned Arum, but not a woman. Which means, therefore, that in this subject of Hirur, we seem to have a contradictory opinion, both in Rabbi Yehuda and also in the Chachamim. Look at Rashi, the Begodeho Shel Soito, the woman who's a Soito. Nikru, if it gets torn just in the normal way, kederech kolanik kroim, just in a normal rip, then so be it. Or if it becomes nifrimu, means kera mashuna, And an unusual tear really becomes tattered, lakan, ulakan, ulachaticha is into small pieces, her beged becomes tattered. In addition, v'soiser esara, you would now undo her hair, kil esara, her plaited or braided hair, which is all covered, now needs to be removed. So again, we have a machloikas for the second time. Are we concerned with hirur or are we not concerned with hirur? The problem is the opinions seem to be going in the opposite direction. Reb Yehuda, in the case of Soito, is very concerned with hirur, not so with skila. Rabbanon, in the case of Soito, are not concerned with hirur, and they are concerned with hirur and skila. This is the big question. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbo. So Rabbo now homes in on the contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, not the Rabbanon. Why would Rabbi Yehuda be concerned with Hirhur only in the case of the Isha Soita, not so in the case of Skila? Says the Gemara, there's a very rational difference. Omar Rabbo. Hosam hainu tama. Over there, do you know what the reason is? Where's there? In the case of Soito, do you know why we're concerned with Hirur? And what did he say? That if it's going to be Goyim Hirur, then do not tear the clothes. Shema Teitse mi Bezdin Zaka. She hasn't yet been indicted. She might exit from Bezdin innocent. Remember, this is before we give her the water. So we at this stage do not know whether she's innocent or guilty. If that's the case, this woman who has now been exposed might be walking around soon as an innocent woman. V'yisgaru ba pirchei kohuna. And the Pirchei Kuna, the young Koyanim who are there in the Beis HaMikdash, will become, it's very provocative for them, and they may now have thoughts, impure thoughts about this woman who is now alive and well. That's why Rabbi Yehuda was concerned with Hirhur. However, Hocha, but over here, what are we talking about? Hamikdala, she's about to be stoned and killed. So nobody's going to have thoughts about her afterwards because she's not here at all. So therefore, says the Gemara, that is a very rational, logical distinction. Is Rabbi Yehuda concerned with Hirhur or is not concerned with Hirhur? The answer is it depends. In the case of Soita, where the woman that they have thoughts about might still be here afterwards, yes, that's a concern. But in the case of Skila, there's no hero because she's about to be killed. What might you say? Well, isn't there a concern that if they see her, they'll start having thoughts now about other people? Says the Gemara, V'chi teima, and if you tell me the osi le'isgaruye, maybe they'll become provoked. Ba'achronaisa with other people, meaning yes, this particular woman, well, they're not going to have thoughts about her, she's now dead, but maybe that'll trigger thoughts of others. No, Omar Rabbo Gmiri, we have learned, Ein Yetzer Hora Sholeit. The Yetzer Hora can only have any type of jurisdiction, Elo b'misha einov royois, only with regard to a woman that he can see. So apparently, there is no hirhur about a woman that you can't see. So if she is dead, that's it. It's not Goyim any hirur. So therefore, we have no contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. By the way, we have not addressed the contradiction in the Rabbanon's opinion, but the contradiction in the Rabbi Yehuda has been resolved. Is Rabbi Yehuda concerned or not concerned with hirur? The answer is it depends. In the case of the Isha Soita, where there is a distinct possibility that she's going to be exonerated, so she's going to be walking around alive and well. Yes, they were very concerned with Hirhur. If they see her guf, not mechuseh, and then they're going to see her afterwards, so they're going to have thoughts. But in the case of a woman's about to be stoned, there's no Hirhur because a second later she's stoned. What are you going to say is going to cause thoughts about other people? That's not the way the Yetzer Hara works. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Reblayo, yeah, we're running out of time.
I was thinking that the subject matter by which she's being killed would create the wrong thoughts. In Skila, I don't know what she's chayav
Okay,
misa
good
for, but
point. Good point. Good point. We'll see. The Gemara makes a similar story. It's a good point. You're saying Skila, maybe she was stoned for Chilul Shabbos, which has nothing to do with Hiru.
right, but then you
Oh,
know why this
well,
woman is
it's the
being
concept.
soita, so all of a sudden you're in the wrong place.
Okay, good svar. Good svar. I like it. Good svar. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem will continue tomorrow.